Take your Bibles, please. Turn to the book of Galatians, chapter 5. Galatians, chapter 5. And I am excited, as always, but especially tonight, I want to teach you something that will be very practical, very helpful. And in a moment, I'll explain a little bit more. We're going to read a passage here starting in verse 16, Galatians chapter 5. We're going to read through verse 26 together. I'm going to read it out loud. You follow along silently. And then I want you to, I'll stop from time to time and say, circle a word or mark this word. There's a reason for it. All right, here we go. Verse 16. This I say then, walk in the Spirit. Notice that word, walk. If you want to underline it or circle it, that's an important word. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. For the flesh lusteth against the Spirit, and the Spirit against the flesh. And these are contrary the one to the other, so that ye cannot do things that ye would. But if ye be led of the Spirit, circle that word, led. But if ye be led of the Spirit, ye are not under the law. Now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings, and such like, of the which I tell you before, as I have also told you in time past, that they which do such things shall not inherit the kingdom of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts. If we live in the Spirit, I want you to circle that word, live. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. There's that word, walk again. Let us not be desirous of vainglory, provoking one another, envying one another. Now, if you'll stay with me, keep your Bible open. We'll use it tonight in just a moment here. Tonight, I have a very, very wonderful truth to share with you. I think if you'll listen to this, it will enrich your life more than just about faith. You see, we're going to focus on the one part of the fruit of the Spirit that says faith. But I want you to notice all nine of these fruit of the Spirit, it can be said about all of these. The truth applies laterally for all of these, and I'll show you what I mean by that in a moment. Even though we're going to focus on one, the same truth applies to all nine things listed there in verses 22 and 23. Now, this passage begins by telling us how to be spiritual and how to be spirit-led. Look at verse 16 again. This I say then, walk in the Spirit, and ye shall not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now look at me. God says that if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Let's use Bible logic here. If we walk in the flesh, can we walk in the Spirit then? Okay, that was dead. If we walk in the flesh, can we walk in the Spirit? Yes or no? No, there you go. Wanted to make sure somebody was awake. All right, here we go. Now, so God says, if you walk in the Spirit, you will not walk in the flesh. You will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. Now, listen to this very carefully. God knows that we are sinners. And he knows the battle that we face in order for spiritual things to rule our lives. You see, God knows that because we're sinners, there is a barrier between walking in the Spirit and fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Had we not been sinners, guess what? The lust of the flesh has no appeal. Because we're sinners, that lust of the flesh has appeal. Now, listen to me very carefully. He says, if we walk in the Spirit, we will not fulfill the lust of the flesh. So, the key to conquering the flesh is walking in the Holy Spirit of God. Do you see that? Yes or no? All right, there we go. Now, let me remind you, man was created with a body, with a soul, and with a spirit. Everybody remember that? Man is body, soul, and spirit. Now, that's important because lost man has no spirit because his spirit is dead. A lost person is merely body and soul. You do not get your spirit until you get saved. That's what being born again, regenerated, regened, and the Holy Spirit of God regenerates, regenes you, moves inside you, and your body then becomes the temple of the Holy Spirit. Because it is the Holy Spirit of God that moves inside you at salvation. I've said this before, don't get mad at me. Theologically, it's incorrect to say Jesus lives in your heart. It's the Holy Spirit. When you got saved, the Holy Spirit is the part of the Godhead that moved in. Because your body, what? Know you not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Everybody see that? Okay, now, hang in there. A lost person has no spirit to tell them right from wrong, or to bother them when they're about to do wrong, or to prompt them to do right. They are going about fulfilling the lust of the flesh. If you read through this, now the works of the flesh are manifest, which are these: adultery. You know, the world doesn't think twice about it, just about. Fornication. It's a way of life. Uncleanness. Talk about an unclean world we live in. Lasciviousness. Idolatry. Look at the idolatry in the world today. Let's see here. Witchcraft. Harry Potter. Hatred. Variance, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies, envyings, murders, drunkenness, revelings. Sounds like our world, doesn't it? And I'll tell you why. It's because it's lost man fulfilling the lust of the flesh. Once a person gets saved, we get out of those things by walking, being led by the Spirit of God. Now, most churches, listen to this statement. I preached a sermon on this not long ago. Most churches only work on the body and the soul, and they leave out the spirit. They think they're being spiritual by ministering to people's souls. They think they're being spiritual by ministering to people's bodies. Let me show you what I mean. Your body is this shell, this carcass. Your soul is your personality. That's your ability to get along with other people. Your spirit is that which allows you to communicate with God. Everybody see that? All right. You can't communicate with God with a dead spirit. It's not till the Holy Spirit moves inside and you, through the Holy Spirit, now have direct access to God. That is called being spiritual. Now, when you are being fulfilling the lust of the flesh, the spirit cannot dominate. He's not leading. You're not walking with him, and you're not living with him. Those three verbs that we circled: walk, led, live. If you're living, fulfilling the flesh, you're not walking in the spirit. If you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're not being led by the spirit. If you're fulfilling the lust of the flesh, you're not living in the spirit. So the key is being spiritual. Now, the modern church only ministers to the body and to the soul. Now, I'm not saying all churches, but I'm going to use that term. Modern style churches are churching only body and soul. That's why you have contemporary services. You've got the rock music. You've got crossover time. You've got, oh, come to church, dress as you want. Come in your PJs. You've got the feel-gooders, you've got the sodomites, you got women preachers, you got sodomite preachers, you got transvestite preachers, and you got their little, cute little sermonettes while they suck on their cigarettes. You got churches that don't stand on the authority of the Word of God, and they believe what they want to believe. Now listen to this statement. They put clothing on cold bodies, and they'll even feed people. but their people die and go to hell. They're only ministering to a body and to a soul. They're not ministering to the Holy Spirit and the spirit of man. Everybody see that? Now, God tells us that walking, being led by, and living in the Spirit will keep us from fulfilling the lust of the flesh. We saw that. We know that this Spirit here is the Holy Spirit. Notice it says capital S in Spirit. God tells us that a saved person has the Holy Spirit living inside him, which means that that Holy Spirit then, I want you to notice something. Look all the way down to verse 22. This is where the sermon starts. But the fruit of the Spirit. Now look at me. The Holy, by the way, notice that is a capital S. Whose spirit is that? Man's or God's? Okay, about five of you got it. Whose spirit is that? Man's or God's? God's. Now most of you got it. Good. So that is the Holy Spirit. God says that if man is walking in the Spirit, led by the Spirit, and walks in the Spirit, that the Holy Spirit bears fruit. Notice that. The Spirit will bear fruit. Wow. That means fruit grows because of the Holy Spirit of God living, leading, and walking in the spirit of man. Now I have something. Hang on here. I got some grapes. Brother Mark, where are you at? I got you a spaghetti squash. I've got tomato. I've got, yucky, avocado. How many of you like avocados? Ooh, nasty. Nasty. I've got pears. That's my mom's favorite. Oranges. I've got apple. And I've got kiwi. I'll put this down here, these up here. Now notice something. Every one of those is a fruit. Now, not in the term that you would, you say, well, squash is not fruit, tomato is not fruit. Yes, it is. Now, you might call it a vegetable, but those are all actual fruit, either of a vine, of a plant, or of a tree. Every one of them. Every one of these started with a blossom. In the spring, the apple trees will blossom with white blossoms. Virtually every one of those blossoms is the beginning of a fruit. That's what this end of the apple is all about. It comes first. That's the dead end of the blossom. Same is true on a tomato. That's the dead end of the blossom of the little yellow flower that came out on the tomato plant. Amen? And I could go on and on. I'm not going to give you a botany class. But if you listen, I can help you. Now, the average church says, let's study these fruit. Let's eat these fruits and enjoy how good they are. And they're good. So you got to spit your seeds out. Okay? Now, wait a minute. They'll look at how beautiful they are. They'll look at the different colors. They'll tell you about the different trees. They'll tell you about how sweet the fruit is, or how nasty the fruit is in the spaghetti squash or the avocado. All that kind of stuff. Now, wait a minute. Tonight, I want you to notice something. God said the Holy Spirit bears fruit. It bears fruit. And it lists nine different fruit. Now, here, it, by the way, what I'm going to teach tonight, I want you to take your Bible real quick. I'm going to I'm going to unteach what many have taught wrong. But take your Bible, Mark chapter 7. And I'm going to show you what the God says about the Word of God so that I can teach it to you rightly. Mark chapter 7, look at verse number 13. Boy, those grapes are good. Let me try that again. Those seeds are bitter. Look at verse number 13. Making the word of God of none effect through your traditions. Through your tradition, which ye have delivered, and many such things do ye. Look at me. We've accepted church tradition on the teaching of the fruit of the Spirit way too long. I don't care what church teaches. I don't care what the Roman Catholic Church teaches, the Baptist Church, whoever. Let's take the Word of God at face value and see what God says. Let's see what God says. All right? Here we go. First of all, I have 3 points tonight. Point number one, what is fruit? What is fruit? Let me define what fruit is. Fruit is the maturing of a blossom into a seed pod. That is a pod like a bean is. In the core of that apple, what are there? In the inside of that kiwi, what are there? In the inside of that green avocado, what is there? What's inside the tomato? And the squash, and the pear, and the orange, and the grapes. Guess what? Every one of those, everything that bears fruit, all of that fruit is all that is a big seed pod. Did you know you could go out, put that apple in the ground at the right time of the year, and it would grow another tree? It is a self-contained seed pod with enough flesh around it to allow that the seeds in there to rot appropriately, germinate, and grow another tree. That's what all of these are for. God knew every one of these had the potential to be another, and I'm going to use the word plant or tree, with which to reproduce again. So the fruit, by the way, the fruit's often edible. Did you know you could eat the outside of a bean, green beans? You know, you don't take the little bean out of the green bean. You eat the whole thing, the whole seed pod. Now, you can take peas and eat the whole pod, or you can shuck and shell them things. I'm too lazy to shell them. Just throw the whole thing in there and eat them raw, but don't cook them nasty things. Amen? Now, wait a minute. You can often eat the flesh around these. Or there, in some cases, you can't eat the flesh, but you can eat the seed. You take nuts. Take a walnut. You're not going to eat the flesh around a walnut. Say why? You can run over it with a car and not get through it half the time. You got to break them things open. But you know, the outside of that, if you could plant it, it would rot. It might take it a year or two for it to dry, rot, but it would grow another walnut tree. God made it to encapsulate enough seeds in every one of those to reproduce another tree or another plant. That's how God regenerated the earth. Everybody understand that? So, the fruit is often edible, but the purpose of the fruit, listen to me, is for the reproduction of the plant, not for the enjoyment of man. The purpose of this fruit, though we eat a lot of it, isn't just for man to enjoy, it's to reproduce more plants. You know, the purpose of planting the seeds out of that apple are not to get another apple, it's to get another apple tree. Everybody see that? So the purpose of eating, or the purpose of the seeds in that tomato, is not to get one more tomato. It's to get another tomato plant. You see, the same is true with the pear, the squash, the avocado, all of that. You plant one avocado seed. We had an avocado tree in California. You say, did you ever eat them? No, those are nasty. I don't like them. But I had a huge tree in my backyard. It must have been, Dad, you saw that thing. It probably was 20, 25 feet tall. It was huge. I mean, I had these little green puppies everywhere. Do you know what happens when you hit those with a lawnmower? That's exciting, let me tell you. You throw guacamole through three houses. I mean, you got to be careful. Especially if you don't have a bagger on that thing, amen? It'll... Now, wait a minute. The purpose of that fruit is to reproduce another plant or another tree or another vine. So man has turned this fruit into food. But the purpose of the fruit was not just so man could enjoy the fruit. It was to reproduce those plants. Now, it can be eaten. It can be enjoyed. But the purpose is to reproduce another plant. Now watch this. Look at Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Now look at me. God said the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit is to produce fruit. Did you know that, okay, you like apples. My dad and mom love apples. Guess what? If you do nothing but eat that apple, you can't reproduce it. And if you do reproduce it, you have to reproduce another apple tree. You don't plant that to get an apple and eat that apple, take the seed out and plant and get another apple only. It is to reproduce an entire plant. God said that, listen to this, these nine things, they're enjoyable, they're edible of the fruit of the Spirit of God. But the purpose of them is to reproduce the Spirit of God. But the fruit of the Spirit is. So the purpose of it is to reproduce the Holy Spirit by being planted in somebody else so that it grows another Holy Spirit. That's called soul winning. Come here, lost person, Brother Stoltz. You look like a lost man. Here's a lost man. He has no Holy Spirit in him. I have the Holy Spirit, and I've got some of the fruit. And I've enjoyed it, but it's time to go plant some seeds so the Holy Spirit can reproduce. So I walk up to him, find out he's a lost sinner on his way to hell, beats his wife and everything else, chews tobacco and smokes and drinks. Man, you're a filthy, vile person, aren't you? And here he is. He gets saved. Guess what happens? I just reproduced the Holy Spirit. And I planted another seed of the Holy Spirit, so that the Holy Spirit can bear fruit in his life, so he can go down here and talk to that guy on the third row on the center aisle right there, Jim, who's another vile, wicked person, nasty old sinner, and he gets saved, guess what? So that another plant can grow. That plant is the Holy Spirit in man. The fruit of the Spirit is not so you can say, oh, I have the love of God. Oh, love, 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 love. Gag. Garbage. Well, I have the fruit of faith. I have strong faith. No, 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 no. The purpose of faith is for you to show other people their need of salvation. What is the definition of faith? Faith is the substance of things hoped for, evidence of things not seen. It means you have the ability to see a need that nobody else can fill but God, and you trust him to fill it based on the word of God. That means by faith you go out and tell some lost person how to get saved, and some of them do. And when they do, you jump up and down and say, bless God, planted another one. Got another plant started. Now watch this. Guess what happens? When you plant the seed of the Word of God and someone gets saved, that's called regeneration. In botany, we call it germination. That means that seed becomes fertile to grow. When somebody gets saved, they get eternal life and they get eternal growth. They get everlasting life. And the Holy Spirit moves in and now has the wherewithal to start bearing fruit. But notice something. The fruit of the apple tree is not there just for you to have apples. It's there to reproduce what? An apple tree. And the Holy Spirit wasn't given to you just so you can suck down all the fruit off the tree. It's for you to go out and plant that fruit to reproduce more fruit trees. That is the purpose of the fruit of the Spirit. Now, we're going to talk about faith tonight, and in particular, the purpose of the fruit is not to just enjoy it. It is the seed pods for the reproduction of the plant itself. Do you know what planting faith means? The old preachers used to say this: go out and share your faith with somebody. Hello. What were they talking about? Soul winning. Soul winning. You can call it sharing your faith, soul winning, door knocking, or as Brother Hiles found out in one of the countries he went and visited, they didn't have any doors on their houses, but every house had a dog, so they didn't go door knocking, they went hold dogging, because you had to hold the dog back when you knocked on the side of the, so they went hold dogging, amen? I don't care what you call it, but when you go out and I tell this lost person how to be saved, I have shared with him that I knew I was a lost sinner, bound for hell, that Jesus paid the price for me, that all I had to do is trust Jesus, and that he has the same need, faith, in his life, and that we can fill that by what Jesus did. That's called sharing your faith. Faith, thank you, Brother Stoltz, is not an action verb, it is a noun. Faith is never used as a verb in the Bible anywhere. Well, I'm going to live by faith. I'm going to say, okay, God, this is what I need, and I'm going to plunker down till you give it to me. Uh-uh. Faith is a noun. I think I just broke my plant. The bush sat on the plant and broke it, amen? But faith is a noun. Faith is either the doer or the receiver of an action. I said it this way, I think, a week or two ago. It is the soil in which all action is planted. You have to plant your action in faith for it to germinate and grow. But I want you to notice something. Point number two. The Holy Spirit produces faith. The Holy Spirit produces faith. So, first of all, what is fruit? Fruit is a seed pod. Second of all, the Holy Spirit produces faith. Look at it again. Verse 22. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. Look at me. Take your Bible, turn to 1 John chapter 5. Real quickly, I got to hurry. First John chapter 5, I want you to look at just a few verses. I'm going to read them. I'm going to holler for a second, and we're going on. Verse number 4, For whatsoever is born of God overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our, what is it? Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? 1 John 5, verse number 6. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is, what's the next word? Truth. Truth. Keep going. For there are three that bear record in heaven: the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in the earth: the Spirit, and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. Wow, look at me. Mr. Schofield's wrong when he said verses 7 and 8 should be omitted. If you look in a Schofield reference Bible, in his notes, you'll see a little number there. Go to the center, and it says these verses should be omitted. They're not in any reliable translation. Mr. Schofield's an idiot. He just denied the Trinity. But I want you to notice something. It is faith that overcomes the world. Sounds like the lust of the flesh, right? Now watch this. He says there are three that bear witness in heaven. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. The three in heaven, the Word, the Holy Ghost, and the Father. Now watch this. Three on earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. Here we go. You ready? The Holy Spirit and the Bible and the faith all go together. The Bible says here in 1 John 5, verse number, what is it, the 6 or so, it says, the Spirit is truth. The Bible also says, thy word is truth, O Lord. And it also says here in 1 John chapter 5, these three are one. That's why the Bible does not contradict itself. Because the Holy Spirit and the Word of God, which are Jesus Christ, work in harmony together with the Father, and we have God in His Word that gives faith in man. Because God hath breathed into every man the breath of life, the inspiration, the indwelling of a Spirit, a life-giving Spirit, a germinated Spirit, hello, and man became a living soul. So it is by faith. Did you know that every human being on the face of the earth worships some kind of God? Well, I know atheists, they don't believe in God. Yes, they become their own God. They worship themselves. Okay? So, I want you to notice something. The Holy Spirit is truth, and the Word of God is truth. Jesus is the Word of God. Faith has to be based on truth, or it has misplaced hope or faith. People that don't believe in that book but call themselves religious are going to go to heaven one day, according to Matthew chapter 7, and say, many shall say unto me in that day, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils, and in thy name done many wonderful works, and in thy name have we not done this? And he will say unto them, depart from me, I never knew you, cursed into everlasting darkness. Wait a minute, they preached. There's a lot of people that have been preaching the Word of God, or what they thought was the Word of God, or what they called the Word of God, that are going to die and go to hell one day. You got these faith healers and faith believers that, oh, you need to be saved, sanctified, filled with the Holy Ghost. You got to speak in tongues. And if you do all that just right, then you might make it to heaven. Those people, if they believe what they're preaching, are going to die and go to hell. And they're going to get to heaven and say, look, I did all these wonderful things, God. And he will say, depart from me. I never knew you. You know why? Because they didn't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. They were talking to man's soul, to man's body, but they were not speaking through the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. Well, I spoke in tongues and the Spirit led me to speak, you know, blah, 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 blah. No, that wasn't the Holy Spirit. That was the devil. Everybody doing all right? Man, I'm having fun. And the Holy Spirit produces fruit that is actually a seed pod to produce another plant, which is the Holy Spirit, in somebody else. In other words, faith is soul winning. Love is for soul winning. Joy is for soul winning. Long suffering is for soul winning. Gentleness is for soul winning. Meekness is for soul winning. And temperance is for soul winning. Goodness is for soul winning. Faith is for soul winning. Those nine parts of the fruit of the Spirit are all for you to use in soul winning. Watch this. So that you can reproduce the Holy Spirit in somebody else. So, first of all, we know what fruit is. Second of all, it is the Holy Spirit that produces these things in saved people. Now, here we go. Point number three. By the way, God gave every man the measure of faith, Romans chapter 12, verse number 3, for salvation, and it germinates at salvation. That's why God said you must be born again. That is a fertilized seed that matures, that has the ability to bear fruit. That is the culmination of it. That's why if you go to John chapter 15, he said that you need to bear fruit and bear more fruit and bear much fruit. I am the true vine. My Father is the husbandman. Everybody remember that passage? And the vine cannot abide of itself. Now, what is God talking about? That's the Holy Spirit. We're to be hooked up so we can reproduce other plants for him. Now, let's go to the last point and I'll be done. Point number three, faith. So we said first of all, what is fruit? Second of all, the Holy Spirit produces faith or produces this fruit. Now watch this. Faith reproduces the Holy Spirit in others. Did you ever go to the section where I bought all of this? Anybody know what section that's called in a grocery store? The produce. Why is it called the produce? Because these plants produced fruit. Now, we go there to eat. God made it so that these could be planted and reproduce another plant. So, faith is a byproduct of the Holy Spirit producing in us. Brother Stoltz, come here for a second. You've won people to the Lord, haven't you?
Yes, sir.
All right. He has become productive. In each and every person he's won to Christ, guess what he's done? He's taken this fruit, walked down there, planted it in another human being, and they got saved. Now, don't squish it on his head or push it in his ear. You can just hand it to him. But then he came back. He was stronger. But he found that he found out that Ron doesn't like that fruit, but Ron likes that fruit, went out and won Ron to the Lord. Come on, Brother Stoltz. Then he found out Mrs. Bush didn't like those, but she likes tomatoes. So then he went down, shared his faith. See how he's using different parts of the fruit to win different people? That's what the fruit of the Spirit's for. It is for you. Who said that they liked avocados? Okay, Brother Barnes. He's a wicked sinner. Go get that to him real quick and reproduce it. Amen. Those are nasty. Now, wait a minute. Yeah. Now, everybody listen to me for a second. Faith reproduces the Holy Spirit in others. It doesn't reproduce faith. It reproduces all of the fruit of the Spirit by that person getting saved. It's not that, well, I know how to love, so I'm going to go out and just love, 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 love. And that is my fruit of the Spirit. No. My Bible says in Jude that, and others save with, and of some having compassion, making a difference. And others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. Oh, teach you something about that. God said, some people, you need to win them with your love, with your compassion. Brother Barnes, the night we went down the road to your house, to your neighbor whose son died, we won him that night with love. I've been out soul winning, met up with an old rascal named Gordon Taylor, and I didn't win him with love that night. I had to scare the fire out of him. I was going to use another word, but it probably wouldn't come out right, though it would not have been used wrongly. But God said, in others, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment spotted by the flesh. I was out soul winning one day, met up with a sodomite. There was six of my guys in our Sunday school class around this guy, and he wouldn't get saved. I jumped out of the car, One of the fellows said, "Hey, Brother Bush, this guy thinks he's too bad a sinner to get saved. You need to get over here." My soul-winning partner and I went over. Within about 3 seconds, I knew what I was dealing with. You know, little Twinkie. And I thought, oh. But here's all these, I got seven of our men from our Sunday school class there thinking, okay, Mr. Assistant Pastor of the world's largest church, it's put up or shut up. What are you going to do now? My soul-winning partner was a bit aggressive, Brother Jim. He looked at this guy and said, "What do you mean you're not going to get saved? Bless God, you don't get saved. You're going to fry in hell like a sausage." I mean, that's the words he used. You ought to have seen that little Twinkie get warm. He literally scared the fire out of him. I opened my Bible, won that man to Christ. Before I left, he had won about a dozen people to the Lord and had them down the aisle. Now, wait a minute. Some you win with compassion. Others you win by preaching the Hades sermons. How many of you got saved when somebody preached on hell? Raise your hand. Okay, a couple of you did. Joe, yeah. Thomas, I expected you. Hard heart there. Not many people get saved by a preacher preaching on the love of God. Now, the love of God is vital. But when you go soul winning, people ought to know you love them. I could go on and on. I don't have time. Let me say this. Until you plant the seeds, you can't reproduce the plant. Many of you have a whole basket full of fruit, but you're sitting there with it in a basket and it's doing nothing. Some of you have even eaten the fruit and just left the cores there, spit the seeds out, and the seeds are sitting in the bowl doing nothing. God wants you to go out and plant them and get another fruit tree or fruit vine or another fruit plant. He doesn't want you sitting there just enjoying the fruit. The reason he gave it to you is to reproduce the Holy Spirit in somebody else. You see, you eat the fruit to be strong enough to go out and plant and harvest another harvest. I like grapes. Man, in the summertime when it's hot, you put them puppies in the freezer. Wait a couple hours and pull them out and they're just about totally frozen. Man, that is good stuff. I could eat grapes from 4 a.m. till 4 a.m. I can eat them all day long. I love them any color, any kind, seeded or unseeded. I can eat them all. I like just about any kind of grape unless it's in a bottle that fizzes. Amen. don't worry, Mom. I won't tell them that you tried to get me drunk as a kid. But I love grapes. But let me tell you something. The purpose of the grapes isn't just to fill my belly. It's for me to take the seeds and go out and plant more plants. And the reason God gave you the Holy Spirit and he reproduced this fruit in you is so that you could go out and win other people to Christ. Come here, Brother Stoltz. He and I were out soul winning one day on his van route. We met up with some Spanish folks. I know about 2 verses in Spanish. I know how to tell them they're lost and on their way to hell. But I don't know the rest of the verses to show them how to go to heaven. That's not real comforting as a preacher, amen? But I watched this man witness to people I could not witness to because they only spoke Spanish. Y'all know what I'm talking about? So God reproduced a fruit inside Rich Stoltz. He took it and used it and planted it in somebody else. I could not win, but he could. I wasn't filled with that part of the Spirit as he is, but God reproduced that part of the fruit in him that day for that person. That's what the fruit of the Spirit's all about, folks. Thank you. Have a seat. Now, it's going to take work to reproduce another vineyard, another garden. Watch Brother Ecker walked in tonight with a packet of bean seeds, amen? You know what? You could put those bean seeds in a pot and boil them and eat them, couldn't you? Now, you're going to boil them a while and soak them a while. Good night. She's on fire. Now, wait a minute. You could eventually eat those seeds. You'd have to soak them a long time and then cook them. But the purpose of those seeds weren't for eating. They're for planting. The purpose of these seeds isn't just for eating. It's for planting. And it takes work to plant. You got to dig up the soil. You got to rake out the soil. You got to hoe it up. You got to put the seeds in. You got to cover it back up. You got to make sure it's got all the right, at the right time of the year. You got to make sure all that stuff is there. Why? That's how you get fruit. Do you know where those bean seeds came from? Last year's beans. They came from last year's beans. They pulled them out of the little pod, let them dry, made sure they were fertile, and then packaged them and sent them out. They grew last year. That is last year's crop being planted this year so that more crop can be brought in. That is exactly why God gave us the fruit of the Spirit. We've talked about faith. But the fruit of the Spirit is not there just for man to study, to enjoy, to eat, and to go on. It's also there not to just reproduce another piece of fruit. It's there to reproduce the Holy Spirit in others. We're not supposed to just reproduce love in somebody. We're supposed to reproduce the Holy Spirit. If we reproduce the Holy Spirit, guess what? They get all nine of these too. We're focused on the wrong thing. We're focused on the individual fruit versus the plant. We watch people focus on the fruit and not the plant. God said that is what the fruit of the Spirit and faith are all about. Every head bowed, every eye closed.